What is useful to us, then, is wealth, and what is useless to us is not wealth. Eryxias, interrupting, said, But how do you mean, Socrates, do we not employ in our intercourse with one another speech and violence and various other things? These are useful, and yet they are not wealth. Clearly we have not yet answered the question, what is wealth? That wealth must be useful. To be wealth at all, thus much is acknowledged by everyone. But what particular thing is wealth, if not all things? Let us pursue the argument in another way, and then we may perhaps find what we are seeking. What is the use of wealth, and for what purpose has the possession of riches been invented, in the sense, I mean, in which drugs have been discovered for the cure of disease? Perhaps in this way we may throw some light on the question. It appears to be clear that whatever constitutes wealth must be useful, and that wealth is one class of useful things. And now we have to inquire, what is the use of those useful things which constitute wealth? For all things probably may be said to be useful which we use in production, just as all things which have life are animals. But there is a special kind of animal which we call man. Now if anyone were to ask us, what is that of which, if we were rid, we should not want medicine and the instruments of medicine, we might reply, that this would be the case, if disease were absent from our bodies, and either never came to them at all, or went away again, as soon as it appeared, and we may therefore conclude that medicine is the science which is useful for getting rid of disease. But if we are further asked, what is that from which, if we were free, we should have no need of wealth, can we give an answer? LF we have none. Suppose that we restate the question thus, if a man could live without food or drink, and yet suffer neither hunger nor thirst, would he want either money or anything else, in order to supply his needs?
He would not.
And does not this apply in other cases? If we did not want for the service of the body the things of which we now stand in need, and heat and cold and the other bodily sensations were unperceived by us, there would be no use in this so-called wealth, if no one, that is, had any necessity for those things which now make us wish for wealth in order that we may satisfy the desires and needs of the body in respect of our various wants. And therefore if the possession of wealth is useful in ministering to our bodily wants, and bodily wants were unknown to us, we should not need wealth, and possibly there would be no such thing as wealth.
Clearly not.
Then our conclusion is, as would appear, that wealth is what is useful to this end. Eryxias once more gave his assent, but the small argument considerably troubled him. And what is your opinion about another question? Would you say that the same thing can be at one time useful, and at another useless for the production of the same result?
I cannot say more than that if we require the same thing to produce the same result, then it seems to me to be useful, if not, not.
Then if without the aid of fire we could make a brazen statue, we should not want fire for that purpose, and if we did not want it, it would be useless to us, and the argument applies equally in other cases.
Clearly.
And therefore conditions which are not required for the existence of a thing, are not useful for the production of it.
Of course not.
And if without gold or silver, or anything else which we do not use directly for the body in the way that we do food and drink and bedding and houses, if without these we could satisfy the wants of the body, they would be of no use to us for that purpose.
They would not.
They would no longer be regarded as wealth, because they are useless, whereas that would be wealth which enabled us to obtain what was useful to us.
Oh, Socrates. You will never be able to persuade me that gold and silver and similar things are not wealth, but I am very strongly of opinion that things which are useless to us are not wealth, and that the money which is useful for this purpose is of the greatest use, not that these things are not useful towards life, if by them we can procure wealth.
And how would you answer another question? There are persons, are there not, who teach music and grammar and other arts for pay, and thus procure those things of which they stand in need?
There are.
And these men, by the arts which they profess, and in exchange for them, obtain the necessities of life just as we do by means of gold and silver.
True.
Then if they procure by this means what they want for the purposes of life, that art will be useful towards life. For do we not say that silver is useful, because it enables us to supply our bodily needs?
We do.
Then if these arts are reckoned among things useful, the arts are wealth for the same reason as gold and silver are, for, clearly, the possession of them gives wealth. Yet a little while ago we found it difficult to accept the argument which proved that the wisest are the wealthiest, but now there seems no escape from this conclusion. Suppose that we are asked, is a horse useful to everybody? Will not our reply be, no, but only to those who know how to use the horse?
Certainly.
And so too, physic is not useful to everyone, but only to him who knows how to use it.
True.
And the same is the case with everything else.
Yes.
Then gold and silver and all the other elements which are supposed to make up wealth are only useful to the person who knows how to use them.
Exactly.
And were we not saying before, that it was the business of a good man and a gentleman, to know where and how anything should be used?
Yes.
The good and gentle, therefore, will alone have profit from these things, supposing at least, that they know how to use them. But if so, to them only will they seem to be wealth. It appears, however, that where a person is ignorant of riding, and has horses which are useless to him, if someone teaches him that art, he makes him also richer. For what was before useless has now become useful to him, and in giving him knowledge he has also conferred riches upon him.
That is the case.
Yet I dare be sworn that Critias will not be moved a whit by the argument.
No, by heaven, I should be a madman, if I were. But why do you not finish the argument which proves that gold and silver, and other things which seem to be wealth are not real wealth? For I have been exceedingly delighted to hear the discourses which you have just been holding.
My argument, Critias, appears to have given you the same kind of pleasure which you might have derived from some rhapsode's recitation of Homer, for you do not believe a word of what has been said. But come now, give me an answer to this question. Are not certain things useful to the builder when he is building a house?
They are.
And would you say that those things are useful which are employed in house building, stones and bricks and beams and the like, and also the instruments with which the builder built the house? The beams and stones which they provided, and again the instruments by which these were obtained.
It seems to me that they are all useful for building.
And is it not true of every art, that not only the materials, but the instruments by which we procure them, and without which the work could not go on, are useful for that art?
Certainly.
And further, the instruments by which the instruments are procured, and so on, going back from stage to stage ad infinitum, are not all these, in your opinion, necessary in order to carry out the work?
We may fairly suppose such to be the case.
And if a man has food and drink, and clothes and the other things which are useful to the body, would he need gold or silver, or any other means by which he could procure that which he now has?
I do not think so.
Then you consider that a man never wants any of these things for the use of the body?
Certainly not.
And if they appear useless to this end, ought they not always to appear useless? For we have already laid down the principle that things cannot be at one time useful, and at another time not, in the same process.
But in that respect your argument and mine are the same, for you maintain if they are useful to a certain end, they can never become useless, whereas I say that in order to accomplish some results bad things are needed, and good for others.
But can a bad thing be used to carry out a good purpose?
I should say not.
And we call those actions good which a man does, for the sake of virtue?
Yes.
But can a man learn any kind of knowledge which is imparted by word of mouth, if he is wholly deprived of the sense of hearing?
Certainly not, I think.
And will not hearing be useful for virtue, if virtue is taught by hearing and we use the sense of hearing in giving instruction?
Yes.
And since medicine frees the sick man from his disease, that art too may sometimes appear useful in the acquisition of virtue, e.g., when hearing is procured by the aid of medicine.
Very likely.
But if, again, we obtain by wealth the aid of medicine, shall we not regard wealth as useful for virtue?
True.
And also the instruments by which wealth is procured?
Certainly.
Then you think that a man may gain wealth by bad and disgraceful means, and, having obtained the aid of medicine which enables him to acquire the power of hearing, may use that very faculty for the acquisition of virtue?
Yes, I do.
But can that which is evil be useful for virtue?
No.
It is not therefore necessary that the means by which we obtain what is useful for a certain object should always be useful for the same object, for it seems that bad actions may sometimes serve good purposes. The matter will be still plainer if we look at it in this way: if things are useful towards the several ends for which they exist, which ends would not come into existence without them, how would you regard them? Can ignorance, for instance, be useful for knowledge, or disease for health, or vice for virtue?
Never.
And yet we have already agreed, have we not, that there can be no knowledge where there has not previously been ignorance, nor health where there has not been disease? nor virtue where there has not been vice.
I think that we have.
But then it would seem that the antecedents without which a thing cannot exist are not necessarily useful to it. Otherwise ignorance would appear useful for knowledge, disease for health, and vice for virtue. Krishna still showed great reluctance to accept any argument which went to prove that all these things were useless. I saw that it was as difficult to persuade him as, according to the proverb, it is to boil a stone, so I said, let us bid goodbye to the discussion, since we cannot agree whether these things are useful and a part of wealth or not. But what shall we say to another question, which is the happier and better man, he who requires the greatest quantity of necessaries for body and diet, or he who requires only the fewest and least? The answer will perhaps become more obvious if we suppose someone comparing the man himself at different times to consider whether his condition is better when he is sick or when he is well.
That is not a question which needs much consideration.
Probably, everyone can understand that health is a better condition than disease. But when have we the greatest and the most various needs? When we are sick, or when we are well?
When we are sick.
And when we are in the worst state, we have the greatest and most especial need and desire of bodily pleasures.
True.
And seeing that the man is best off when he is least in need of such things, does not the same reasoning apply to the case of any two persons, of whom one has many and great wants and desires, and the other few and moderate? For instance, some men are gamblers, some drunkards, and some gluttons, and gambling and the love of drink and greediness are all desires.
Certainly.
But desires are only the lack of something, and those who have the greatest desires are in a worse condition than those who have none or very slight ones.
Certainly I consider that those who have such wants are bad, and that the greater their wants the worse they are.
And do we think it possible that a thing should be useful for a purpose, unless we have need of it for that purpose?
No.
Then if these things are useful for supplying the needs of the body, we must want them for that purpose.
That is my opinion.
And he to whom the greatest number of things are useful for his purpose, will also want the greatest number of means of accomplishing it, supposing that we necessarily feel the want of all useful things.
It seems so.
The argument proves then, that he who has great riches has likewise need of many things for the supply of the wants of the body, for wealth appears useful towards that end, and the richest must be in the worst condition, since they seem to be most in want of such things.